Hello, Michael.
Hello.
And hello, everybody. We got everybody on the show today. This is our 100th episode.
Hooray!
Yay! And so for our 100th episode of Enough, the Minimal Mac podcast, I thought that it might be a good idea to get all of my favorite guests, internet superstars, friends, actually they fall under all these categories, on and to talk, well, just to geek out and talk tech. So let's see, who do we have here? We have, I'm going to go across the line here. We have Aaron Mankey.
Hey, hey, how are you?
All right. Brett Kelly.
Hello.
Well, we're laughing because he sounds strange to us, but he'll sound perfect in the podcast.
Please don't guarantee that.
Dave Kalo.
Hello, everybody.
Julio Ojeda Zapata.
You have to say hello, Julio.
Hello.
You have to say, this is like radio podcasting, you know?
Hello.
Hello. We have, let's see, that's Michael Hurley and that's me. Then we have Randall Murray, Captain Randy. Sean Blanc.
Hello.
You can't miss that that hello, which has actually been a part of my day for the past year. Congrats to him for being over a year now with his site full time. Stephen Hackett.
Hey, y'all.
And Terry Lucy.
Hello.
All right. Terry's wearing a fine hat today, I might add. You can't see that.
And a fine
t-shirt. We were
going to
record
well.
Videos. Yes, yes. There's a few Minimal Mac t-shirts in the house. I, surprisingly enough, am not wearing one.
I have on my Minimal Mac boxers, though.
Aren't you glad I put the printing on the back and not the front? Yeah, no. I have my Daring Fireball shirt on because apparently I suck up to Gruber. So welcome everyone. So here's the shtick. We're gonna try to go quickly as possible, not take up too much of your time. I asked everybody before the show kind of what their favorite technology was from the last year. And the reason I prefaced technology was because it doesn't have to be a gadget, right? It could be iCloud. It could be Dropbox. It could be, I mean, heck, you know, a pen is technology in my book. And so, that said, I wanted to find out what their favorite technology was of the past year, being that we're kind of around the New Year's time, and what they are excited to come in the future. Kind of make some predictions if they want, or if there's something you know is coming, well then, you know, speak it now. Hey, break some news if you want. And so I wanted to start actually with Julio, because he is a very busy man. He is, you know, on the beat with the Pioneer Press, my hometown.
Patrick, switch to somebody else. I'm going to have to take a work-related call.
He's in the newsroom, everyone.
He's in the newsroom. Okay, well, then we'll come back to Julio. All right. Okay. This is starting off with a bang already, I can see.
There's all sorts happening.
All right, so I'm just going to go across the line as I see it at the bottom of my screen here, and I'll plug Julio in when he returns.
Yeah, it could work. It's a little tight since I had to phone.
Julio's not aware of this, is he?
Or we can listen into his call. This is going to be a fun show and a hard one to keep track of everyone. Okay.
Yeah,
we're gonna start off with Aaron.
There we go.
All right.
Terrific. I have found that I can mute Julio, so I have done that.
Terrific. All right.
Just so long as you don't have to mute any of us when we try to start talking.
All right. So, let's start with Aaron. Aaron Mankey.
Hey, how are you?
All right. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. So, do you want us to be, like, all military-like and just go down our list and get on with it, or,
Well,
you know?
I mean, yeah. Let's talk about it a bit. So, last year. The last year, this past 2011 year,
before
the Mayan apocalypse, what was your favorite technology?
Well, you know, and I'm hoping that I don't steal the thunder from anybody else, but We had the opportunity to pre-order and get one of those Nest thermostats, and you know,
so
it's not something that I interact with on a daily basis. Partly by design, you're supposed to use it, let it learn you, and then kind of forget about it. But it's just amazing. It's simply amazing the way that it's been learning how we live. You know, Christmas was on Sunday morning, and you know, typically we're gone for like, I don't know, 2.5-3 hours or something on Sunday morning, and we're sitting there opening presents, and it's getting really cold in the house, and we couldn't figure out why. And I go over to the thermostat, and you just wave your hand in front of it, and it comes to life. And on the screen, it's got a little speech bubble that says, away mode has been activated, and, you know, press to turn it back on. So it just, brilliant things like that. Like, it just knew that we would be gone for some hours on Sunday morning. So the Nest has really taken the place of the, you know, the best gadget that I've had this year. I love it.
So, for those who aren't familiar, and I'll put links to this stuff in the show notes, but the quick synopsis on, so it's a thermostat, it's a programmable thermostat. It actually was created by some ex-Apple folks, right?
Right.
All right, okay.
Yep.
And you basically set this thing up like you would a thermostat in your house. It replaces the thermostat, and it learns your behavior, how you like it, cool, hot, at what times of the day, when you go to sleep, when you wake up, those sorts of things, right?
For sure, yeah, definitely. And, you know, they've taken a technology that's decades old that just hasn't seen any momentum at all. And, you know, this little thing looks like a hockey puck on my wall. It's you know, a glass screen. It's very intuitive the way you interact with it. But it's got sensors for all sorts of things. It's I guess old thermostats detect your temperature in your house by measuring the resistance in wires. Which isn't, so they're not actually testing the temperature in your house. They're making a rough guess based on the resistance and the wiring. This one actually has, you know, a temperature gauge that's you know, kind of hidden behind the face of the glass, and it's sensing the temperature of the room, the ambient temperature around it. It's got a motion sensor, so it knows if somebody's in the house or not. If it gets, you know, really still for a long time, it knows nobody's there. So it's pretty cool, yeah.
If you've got a really old thermostat, it has a spring, a coil that's temperature sensitive, and a little glass vial of mercury that will balance and connect a circuit.
Right, yeah.
Ooh, okay. Wow, well, that's cool. So what are you excited about coming up here, 2012? Is there anything that catches your attention or anything you you would be excited to predict or see?
Well, I'm not going to jump on any rumors or anything that I've been reading about, but I got my Apple TV, the little black one, the Apple TV 2. I got it a year ago at Christmas. I absolutely love that thing. I keep all my movies on an external drive in my office, connected to my library, and you know, we're able to watch stuff all the time through Netflix on it. It's just an amazing little device. I don't know if I buy all the rumors about Apple making, you know, 55-inch LCD TVs and stuff. It doesn't make sense in my mind for that to be a product that they make. But I'd love to see the Apple TV device itself just grow and mature. I'd love to see apps on it, a tighter integration between iOS devices and the Apple TV itself. So
yeah, I'm already pretty amazed with what it can do with iOS. I actually have one, but it's over. It's a long story. It's not here. It's at our other place, and so I don't really get a chance to use it much. But a friend of mine has one and uses it all the time, and he was showing me, like, you know, how you can send the iPad screen to it, and that it does a really good job of scaling up the iPad almost like over the Wi-Fi, and you know, just like kind of blown away by it. Yeah, I mean, you can sit there and surf on your iPad, see it on the big screen, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah,
really nice, really good stuff. All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, so Julio's back.
Hello.
Hey, Julio. You're up next, my friend. Last year, what got you excited?
Well, I wrote a column. I write a weekly tech column for my paper, and I wrote a column about my four tech epiphanies, you know, the things that really jumped out at me during the year. And there are four of them. Number one, MacBook Air. quite possibly the best computer ever invented. I tend to prefer the 13-inch. I know you guys like the 11-inch, but, you know, just rocking computer, just pretty close to perfection. The other things that really jumped out at me are social media. I used to be exclusively on Twitter, but there have been some changes to Google Plus and Facebook that make them more relevant to me, and I'm at the point where I'm using all three interchangeably, and I'm getting more excited about Facebook, which I used to hate, and Google Plus is great. Number three, photo sharing. I used to be very ambivalent about the whole Instagram thing, and it's sort of, I had an aha moment. You know, Instagram has been around for a year, and I didn't really like it. Suddenly I got it, and I'm wondering if 1 year from now I'm going to have the same reaction to Path, which right now I just do not understand. Yeah.
So would you put Path then into that category for things you're...
Path is my current... I don't get it right now.
But is that something that you're looking forward to getting in 2012, you know, before the Mayan apocalypse?
Well, what I want to do, Pat, is share a burrito with you and have you explain it to me, because I think if you talk me through it, I might understand it a little better.
Oh, okay. Do I have to buy the burrito?
I will buy you the burrito.
Oh, okay. That's not a metaphor.
Since you are giving me knowledge, I will give you food.
Wait, are you guys going to share a burrito?
And then epiphany number four. I think this is the big one. I think this was the year when web apps really sort of came into their own. I lead a somewhat schizophrenic tech existence because on the one hand, I like Apple hardware, and Apple is all about the desktop, you know, doing things on your computer. But I'm also a big Google head. I love, you know, having everything on the web, doing everything on the web. I'm one of about three or four fans of a kind of a computer called a Chromebook, which is basically you flip open the lid and you're working within the Chrome browser. I think there are three fans of the Chromebook in the entire world, and I'm one of them. I just love the concept, just doing everything within the browser. And this year, web apps have just gotten better, and a lot of the stuff that I used to have on my desktop, such as music, is now in the cloud via Amazon, via Google Music, and via Apple. And so I'm really really excited about this whole web thing, just having all your stuff on the web and sort of de-emphasizing, you know, what kind of machine you're on.
Yeah, cool.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And we actually talked quite a bit about that on the last episode you were on, so I'll make sure to link to that in the show notes because you have some really good thoughts in that department, I think, and some really interesting ideas.
Two of my tech epiphanies are somewhat in conflict because I love Apple hardware, but Apple is very incompetent about the web. They don't do the web very well. Google is the opposite. They're more they're more proficient with web stuff and less so with hardware. And so I sometimes find myself in the odd position of having to choose between two alluring lovers. So
I hear you. All right. Thanks, Julie. I appreciate you weighing in. Let's see. Who's going to be next? How about... and I know, Julio, you kind of got to get going. Yeah. So... What about, let's see, who's next? Let's see if we can get Dave, since he's popping up on my screen right now. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing really well. Congratulations on 100.
Yeah, 100. So this is the first, I think, of the 70 Decibel podcast to reach 100.
It is. That's why we're having this massive blowout.
So, yeah, that's kind of the reason why we're having this whole big thing where we're getting lots of folks who do other podcasts for 70 Decibels. Sean does Sean Today. You know, I mean, Julio's been a guest. So, I mean, we really wanted to try to make this a family affair.
Hey, Pat and Mike, can I just interject one thing?
Yes.
Sure.
We forgot to talk about my future, and my future is very much my past. The four things that I highlighted are the four things that I'm going to be watching very carefully in the coming year, particularly the web stuff. So I've gotten really excited about the four things I delineated, and those are the things that are going to sort of guide me in the coming year. So that's my future.
All right. Sounds like a interesting year to come, for sure.
Cheers, guys. I gotta go.
All right, see take you, care, sir.
Take care.
Bye. All right, Dave. Dave Pilo, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
I like that Boston cap. See, we're actually doing this in a Google Plus Hangout, so like I can see everybody, and for better or worse, and you know, Dave's rocking he's representing the hood, as it were.
This is my off season cap. I have many for different events at the park only, and then during October if we ever get to the playoffs. Nice. And this is my off season cap.
Do you have a rally cap, or you know, one that like you wear when you really need the socks to come from behind and kick some tail?
Well, typically that's the Fenway cap because it's the most beat up and it's been around for the most years. So even if I'm watching a game here, I'll sometimes wear the Fenway hat here.
So, but with the rally cap, I mean, do you do something different with the Fenway cap? Do you put it on your head, like in some funny way, or
flip it
around sideways or upside down?
Lots no, I can see except you guys, but you still typically turn it inside out like this.
Ah, yeah, okay. Oh, my. All right.
And then you pray Ortiz remembers how to hit the ball and not pop out the center.
See, only baseball geeks would enjoy this conversation. What's interesting is that it seems that one thing you will find, having been a reformed baseball fan, is that different teams have and different fans of different teams have their different rally cap rituals, right?
Right.
So, like, the Braves have it where they basically tuck the back into the front and then wear it so that the bill is kind of standing up vertically.
Like a dorsal fin.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you know, for the Braves, you know, they're thinking like Mohawk sort of thing.
Oh yeah, I'll see. I didn't get that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yes, see? Very good. But it makes sense for the team, right?
Yeah, I don't know why we wear ours inside out, but that's what we do.
yeah. See, there you go. All right. So, last year, besides the Red Sox, what were you technology wise? What were you a fan of?
Yeah, well, it was very hard to be a fan of the Red Sox last September. But there were a few things that I was excited about last year, and the first was just iOS 5 in general. I was really looking forward to it once I didn't have the beta, so when it finally went public was the first time I was seeing it. And even today, there are four things that I still use, and I'm still delighted to use every day in iOS 5. The first is Notification Center. I know it's not perfect, but when you think of how a notification would simply interrupt whatever you happen to be doing before iOS 5.
Yeah.
The current method is just, it's so fantastic. Yeah. And even now when I'm in the middle of doing something and that little bit of a notification just sort of turns to the top and lets me continue doing what I'm doing and then goes back on its own, I'm happy. I'm happy every time that happened. I absolutely love it.
Nice.
I also can't get enough of the location-based reminders. This is a classic example of Apple fulfilling a need I didn't realize I had, or I couldn't articulate that I needed. There's, as we all know, there are things you need to do at a certain time of day or at a certain point during the day. Sometime today I need to go to the dump and drop this stuff off, or at 2 o'clock I need to pick up my son from whatever. But there are times where I'll be waiting at the bus stop and I'll get a text from Mia saying, can you do this before you get home? Now, it might be another 15, 20 minutes before the bus arrives, and then I'm out talking to the other parents, and then the kids arrive, and they're telling me about their day. Half an hour has passed, and I've forgotten about that thing. But if I can simply right then and there say, remind me to blank when I leave this location, and it does. It's great. It's I absolutely love it.
Yeah, nice. iOS 5 in general. Now, what's interesting about you, Dave, is I know most of this stuff you didn't get to really recently, or some of this stuff at least, because you were going iPhone-less for a long time.
Yeah, you have to forgive my enthusiasm, because this is relatively new to me, a lot of this stuff still.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I lost my iPhone 4 last June, and I've replaced it last month, December.
Yeah.
So I went for basically half of 2011 without a phone.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, enlightening in its own way.
Yeah.
So I'm still enthused about a lot of these things that are old hat for you and many of your listeners.
Well, no, it's all good. And I mean, that's part of the reason why I wanted to do this, was to try to bring some of these things back up that, like, people, you know, got excited about 6 months ago and, like, have completely forgotten how cool and revolutionary they are.
And right? There will have been a lot of people who just got their first iOS device over the holidays. So
Oh, good point, Mike.
That is true. So what are you excited about, Dave, coming up this next year? I mean, well, you know, you're a tech reporter. You get the scoop on all of these rumors, and you have your contacts deep inside the mothership to tell you exactly what's going to happen.
You would think that, wouldn't you?
I know what a big fan of rumors you are. So,
I'd love it, man. Well, I guess there are three things I'm really excited about for this year. The first are basically the next versions of the Notification Center and Reminders. I can't wait to see how these two things evolve, because I know they're only going to get better. And, you know, people have voiced their requests for each. I certainly have my ideas for what I would like each to do. And I'm sure Apple's well aware of that. But as we are well aware, Apple doesn't release anything until it's darn good and ready, and until a compelling amount of research has gone into the next iteration, and until it is ready. So I know when, you know, Notification Center 2.0, for lack of a better term, and the next version of the Reminders app come out, they're going to be super, and I'm really looking forward to it. Cool. But the other thing I really enjoyed last year, and again, I'm looking forward to the evolution this year, is something that Julio complained about. I kind of wish he was still here so I could help him, is the Path app. Mm-hmm. Now, if some of your listeners are familiar with Path, basically it's another social thing, and I know that we're all at the point of social app exhaustion, but the 2.0 version that came out, I think, late last year, or at least partway through last year, is fantastic, and I absolutely love it, and I think it's because I'm right in their target customer. The whole notion of Path, if you're unfamiliar, is that you share photos and other moments of your life with really close friends or family, or just, you know, like a small group of people, as opposed to, you know, the population at large via Twitter.
Thousands of followers on public, and
exactly. So I use the app on my phone, and my two sisters who travel for a living, one is a pilot with Continental, and the other is a stage manager, and she's basically on tour throughout the world for 9 months a year, use it all the time. So they never get to see their niece and nephew, who are my kids, and I never get to see Budapest and Singapore, where they often are. Mm. So we'll share photos and videos of what we're doing all the time. So they always get to see, you know, my son in his Boy Scout uniform. And I get to see the cool view from my sister's hotel in Amsterdam. And it's really fun. It isn't public, so it's just for us. We don't have to think, oh, who else is going to stumble upon these videos that we've shared online? And it's pretty much instant. The other night, my sister is in Amsterdam right now, and we had a FaceTime call again, which is amazing that we can do that little bit of magic. But later in the day, she said, I'll be out exploring, and I'll take Path with me. And I'm just sitting along, and there goes my good friend Notification Center. Bing, 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 bing. Here are all these awesome sisters' pictures from my sister wandering Amsterdam while I'm sitting here in my house.
Nice.
It's great. I love it.
Well, so we talked a little bit on a previous episode, I believe it's episode 98, about, you know, Path and kind of using it as a almost as a journal, a multimedia journal. Is that something about it that's compelling to you as well, that you kind of get a, you know, you're recording these moments and such, yes, to share with others, but in part to remember them yourself.
Yeah, and I think I think I definitely succumbed to their marketing, because if you just look at it from objectively, that's another way to share videos and stories with your friends. Right. And there's already a million other apps that do that.
Yeah.
But the folks at Path spin it in by saying this is for your close friends and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's really a matter of how you want to use it. I can invite 150 people right now and share anything I want. But I took that recommendation to heart, and I really only share with just those folks, my good friends and my family. And for whatever reason, I found that it works for me. I really like using it that way. And yeah, I can go back. And it's funny, because one of the things it does that I think you're mentioning, Patrick, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that for me it's also fulfilling something I used to use Gowalla for before Gowalla crapped the bed and became useless to me. Mm-hmm. I used to love to use, because I travel a lot, and I use Gowalla as a little, just like you said, record of where I've been. Mm-hmm. And every few months I would go back and look, oh, I remember when I visited here and here and here, mm-hmm. kind of like a little travelogue. Mm-hmm. And when Gowalla pretty much got rid of the whole check-in scheme or, you know, changed it so dramatically, I didn't have that easy way to record where I've been and what I saw while I was there. Mm-hmm. And Path is also fulfilling that for me as well.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Well, thanks. Thanks for coming on and sharing what you're into and what you liked. Let's move on to Mr. Brett Kelly here, since I'm going on my left side of my screen here as I'm watching on the Google Hangout. Yes, we're using Google Hangout for this, and they're probably formulating the ads right now to return our search results based on this conversation.
So paranoid.
So, yeah, I know. I was born that way. All right, so Mr. Brett Kelly.
Hi.
You're in a feisty mood today.
I am. Am I?
That's every day. Yeah. Now, your audio, we've been, you know, having some audio issues with you, so but don't worry, in the recording we should be able to correct that in post, as the kids like to say.
Right, right.
So, you, what were you into last year? What do you like?
Okay, so I think the thing that I like the best about 2011 tech-wise is how much e-ink became part of the mainstream, or really like came into its own and became a big part of like the technology that everyone uses, not just dorks, right?
Yeah.
I guess the part of the reason why I like that is because I appreciate how that kind of made reading cool again, which sounds goofy, but I don't know, like reading is always, you know, when I was in high school, back when Patrick was like 10 and when everyone else was a baby, like reading was something, you know, like dorky people did, or like a certain, you know, a certain set of people did that, well, who weren't good enough to play sports, those are the ones who read books and stuff. And I always thought that was kind of stupid, but you know, as I got older, I started to really appreciate reading. And I think that when you have a thing like reading that's attached to like a cool piece of tech, that makes it a little bit, I don't know, I like it. I think it's a cool thing that people are reading more and they're excited about reading books.
So not just like, you know, I guess what you're saying is that that has a lot to do with the popularity of the Kindle, right. How big it's been for Amazon, that has created this whole new, not only market for them, but also opened up the opportunities that people have to read, as well as getting geeks who maybe had not read as much, had stopped reading, getting them more interested in reading, because now it's like, oh, I've got this cool gadget to play with, and oh, look, while I'm here, I can actually read things on it, sort of.
I think so. Well, I don't know that. I think the geek market was never necessarily the problem. I don't think.
Right.
Because, you know, nerds have always been associated with, like, science fiction and, you know, stuff like that, which isn't to say that all nerds read a lot, which I don't think is true, but I think that if you take the broader, you know, humanity, and now they can, I don't know, maybe I might be making this up, but like when you see people walking around with a Kindle, like you look at a Kindle in the store and it looks just like, wow, this is cool. Look how light this is. And this can hold, you know, more books than my car. And like, that's just,
right.
I don't know. That's a compelling thing for people. And I think that that might be what gets reading past the boring person and activity hump, is that it's something you can do and still be technologically sort of interesting at the same time.
Fair enough. So what are you excited about for the year to come? I mean, with that in mind, you know, Kindle or Amazon just released a whole bunch of new Kindles. They're allegedly selling like hotcakes. I got my wife, who's already a big, you know, was a big Kindle user to begin with. I got her a Fire for Christmas. She wanted it.
Traitor.
So I got it for her. she's kind of afraid of it, and I don't necessarily blame her, but that's okay.
Right.
That said, what are you thinking about? Is ebooks going to get even more big? Rumors are that Apple's going to hold some you know, book-related event towards the end of this month?
I don't know. I guess the next big thing for ebooks is going to be, because I think Amazon's sort of running away with the e-ink market. Obviously, there's the whole tablet thing, which I won't get into because there's iPad and everything else. But I don't think the parts of 2012 that I'm excited about, I guess, don't really relate to e-ink, but they do relate to, I'm really excited about seeing the iPad, whatever, the next iPad, because the iPad 2 has become a very big part of how I work now.
Yeah.
And another thing I don't expect to see, but I'd really love to see, and I'm sure this is not a new idea, but so Dave was talking about the location-based reminders, and so I think if they could take something like location-based reminders and integrate the Find My Friends feature, so if you have like a, I guess, person-based reminder thing, like next time I see this jackass, wherever he happens to be, doesn't have to, you know, not when I get to his house, but if I run into him at the grocery store or something, you know, remind him that his mother's ugly or something. Like, just next time I'm in this person's presence, I want to make sure I know to do this thing. And I don't think the technology is altogether missing. I think it's possible. And obviously, that opens up a whole bunch of privacy-related crap, and I'm not trying to say that that's not a big deal, but I don't know. Like that, I think that would be a really cool thing to see. And I think Apple's the kind of company that has the oats to make that work. So, I don't know. I hope that happens in 2012. I don't know that it will or not, but I think it would be really cool.
All right. Okay, cool. Cool. Thanks. And, all right, Mr. Brett Kelly, ladies and gents. All right, I'm going to start going on the other side, and I think Michael and I will come last with what we're thinking.
Sound so everyone good? Else can leave, right?
So everyone else could leave if they wanted to, or, you know, laugh at us, make funny faces as we're trying to, like, you know, get the job done here.
The mute switch is great for laughing at you, by the way.
Oh, and I thought you were just smiling because you love me, Brett.
That's both.
So, all right, Mr. Randy Murray, Captain Randy.
Got it.
Captain, my captain. Oh, publisher, my publisher.
I hope this is the year of the ebook.
Yeah, well, you know, me too. Because, you know, my book will be coming out in that format as well as others. So yeah, that is if I ever, like, you know, return it to you to do that with. and yes, I know you're waiting, and yes, we're having a private conversation. So we're not going to do that on the podcast. What were you excited about last year, my friend? What got you going?
I think it is, you know, I had a whole list of things, and what it all boils down to is life in the cloud. The moment that I turned on iTunes Match, and I've got a, you know, fairly substantial imported music library, and I saw, you know, the iTunes Match go through and say, okay, here's everything you bought from us, so you're golden on that. And then looking at all of this imported music, and I've got a friend that makes mix CDs for us, where he's very educated in especially rock and popular music. And so he's built this over the last, say, you know, almost 10 years, this education in popular music by issuing out these, you know, here's the latest CD. It's moved to DVDs now, filled with a survey of music. And so I've been importing those as I've gone along. And iTunes Match, I pay Apple $25. It takes a look and say, okay, we recognize all of these. And by the way, would you like to download better quality versions of them?
Yes, I would.
Yes, I would. And yes, I did. Almost 18,000 tracks. And it did it in a couple of hours' time, and I was just incredibly impressed. And now, with my iPhone or my iPad, wherever I am, I've got access to everything, not just what I bought from Apple, but all of those. And that was just one piece of that. And now with all, you know, when you add in Dropbox, when you add in, you know, what we're doing now, and I don't know, you know, although this is an audio recording, we're all this Google Hangout, which... at no cost other than our Macs and our, I'm assuming we're all on Macs, aren't we?
Yep, yep.
Other than an iPhone there.
No, this is the year of Linux. I can feel it.
Yeah. it could very well be, and that's one of my customers is a big Linux software company, and I do a lot of writing for them about the cloud. Everything is this, but what Apple has done is made it so easy for and almost effortless to be in the cloud, so that my data is on all my devices. What I'm working on my Mac, if I later on need to work on it somewhere else, it's on my iPad already. I don't have to do anything. And like I said, with this Google Hangout, what we're doing right now, it's astonishing. We're having a multi-point video conference, and it's all pretty high quality. I'm really impressed at what I'm seeing and how easy it was to put together. That life in the cloud is, I think, a taste of things to come, and so far it's pretty darn nice.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think it's great.
And you know, for instance, Dave was talking about Path and how he uses it, and I'm that same way. I mean, this is the first year, matter of fact, just this last fall, where we became empty nesters, and our youngest daughter went off to school, and it was really nice having both girls back home. But Path is one of the ways that we stay in touch now.
Yeah.
One of the things that people, if you're sharing my path, basically my path is filled up with pictures of my plates of food. So you get to see what I'm eating. And I don't know whether that's a family thing, but we see a lot of food. But it really is, it's a way to softly stay in touch. In ways, that are just, astonishing. And when I went away to college, my folks would get a telephone call from me long distance about once every 2 weeks.
And collect, right? Long distance and
collect. Long distance and collect. And an occasional written letter, how are you, I am fine style, And but now, with my daughters, I'm getting, little pieces of, their lives in Path, on Facebook. We all carry iPhones, so, video chatting, it for me has really eased the pain of separation. I foresee a future where I'm less concerned about where they're going to be, because they're really not that far away.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that.
Terrific. Yeah. And I agree with you. I think that that's kind of one of the things that we take for granted, is that ability to kind of, whether it be with Path or whether it be through Facebook or Twitter or what have you, especially for those people that we love, it allows us to be connected to them across distances that that we wouldn't otherwise have. And anyone who follows me in Path, you can talk about the food. I mean, I'm sure that anyone who follows my path is pretty certain that I do one of two things, and that is I either am with Beatrix photographing her every move, or I'm taking still lifes of my notebook.
But that's a taste of you, and that's what Path is all about, is that it is that more personal, and I think that's what a lot of people have trouble getting, when they're, and I forget who said it the other day, may have been one of you fellows right here, but Path takes the self-promotion out of social media.
Ooh, yeah.
So...
And
that there's on Twitter, you're out there hyping yourself and trying to get attention. Path is completely there's no reason for that.
Right. I mean, it's just not that kind of, you're not using it for the same purpose. It's not public. You don't have to hype yourself to your friends and family, and that's really all you're following on Path.
Hey, Ma, I'm great.
Actually, I probably should be promoting myself to my wife a bit more.
Now, when you talk about going forward, what I'm really fascinated about is a technology that I don't have access to yet, and that's Siri. I'm still using my you know good old iPhone 4, you know, not the S, and I'm on that 2-year cycle so that you know sometime this next August, which hopefully it'll be the you know iPhone 5 by then, but who cares, you know, whenever I upgrade. You know, I look at Siri and the things, you know, that being able talking to capture is so much more immediate than having to stop and write or to the, you know, reminders, directions, all of those things. And I see that natural language-based interface, you know, really taking off. And I'm and I think that the next step, what I'm predicting, is embedded iOS devices. So things that are, you know, that basically carry Siri and the iOS experience into other things that maybe... You okay there?
Wow.
Sorry, that was Brett.
It was muted, so everyone's going to just hear everyone stop talking and start laughing. I was just hacking up a portion of my chest cavity. So
awesome.
As my friends, I'd ask you all to just sort of hang with me here, okay? I can't mute 7 things before I start coughing. Okay.
We just wanted to make sure you were okay.
Oh, I'm just, yes.
So what was I talking about? Yeah. Oh, embedded devices. So yeah.
Yes. Embedded iOS.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Actually.
So I mean, you know, the people have been already talking about, you know, that Siri and voice control and iOS being a part of the television experience, but I'm looking at, you know, other things that we do that would be useful to communicate with by voice, and that
our cars.
Yeah. That iOS could be a part of that. You know, as an embedded, you know, device. So I think that's a, you know, a really interesting possibility.
All right. I could see that. I see that. Thanks a lot, Randy. Sean, you're up next, Mr. Blanc.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah. I mean, you sound just as relaxed and mellow as you do every day on your Sean Today.
I've had a lot of practice.
I've had a lot of Benadryl.
You know, I do have this I was looking just last night. I got this $7 coupon for Zyrtec. You see, you can get some free Zyrtec. Now it's a toss up on whether I'm going to send it to Brett or to Sean.
You can send it to Brett.
I don't need
it. All right. So, Mr. Blanc, tell me, you, last year, technology, what were you excited about? What was your thing?
I have a few things. I think, the first one I put down, a lot of people have already touched on, and that was iCloud. And I think what I liked about it was, you know, just the syncing of all that stuff, of our phones and our iPads and our Macs, and how it all kind of comes together. And I'm also kind of excited about what that's going to empower third-party developers to do with their stuff. And I think like IA Writer is a really good example of that, where you crack open that app, you type something, you close it, and you open the app on your Mac, and then they're the same things. And that's I think that's a great example of where this stuff is going, where it's all, you know, it's all together. It's all connected.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
A lot of people already touched on that. So I'm going to... This is why I don't think anyone's going to say. And speaking of IA Writer, it was this trend. Like in 2011, we saw this explosion of minimalist writing apps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of perused through the Mac App Store real quick before the show, and I found 8 of them that were, you know, that minimalist writing app where it's, you know, it's just you and the text.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing else, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, I mean, there's so many, it almost kind of turned into like a joke or almost like a meme of it's yet another minimalist writing app.
Yeah.
And, but the thing
actually,
is,
actually, isn't there one called Yet Another Minimalist Writing App? if not, someone should make one like today.
It's a $1 million idea right there.
It really is.
The ones I found, there was 8, but none of them were called Yet Another Minimalist Writing App. I didn't find that one. But what I like is that they're showing there's this trend towards more simple computing and using our still doing the same tasks, but trying to kind of step back a little bit. And, you know, it's like we like all of the things that our computers empower us to do. And so we get all the benefits and et cetera, et cetera. But we don't. We kind of want to step back a little bit from the constant possibility of being distracted on our computers. And so I like that trend. I like where that's going. I think, you know, I've always kind of talked about how, like, my iPad is the iOS on my iPad is, like, the anti-distraction software. It's you kind of only just do one thing at a time. So I'm liking that trend. I like where that's going, and hopefully we'll see that in the future. I think my other favorite piece of tech, I'll just throw this in on the side, is my wife finally got an iPhone. And so that's great. So now her and I can do FaceTime when I'm traveling, and she beats me with Words with Friends about once a week. And, you know, all that stuff. It's just, I don't know, it's fun. Like, she used to have an old candy bar phone.
Well, I mean, I think it's really fun to watch someone else get a technology that you've had for a while and getting to vicariously almost live through that oh wow experience with them. Like, I mean, that happened with my wife. She, you know, went from the 3G to the 4S, and you know, she had really suffered with that 3G for a while, because not only was she well past the date when she could have replaced it, but she waited till the 4S actually came out, which, as we all know, was kind of a longer than normal, or longer than it has been in the past, wait this time around. And, like, to see her finally get some of this technology that she had been waiting for was huge, and was this kind of interesting revelatory moment. And you really forget kind of, you get used to it, you know. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is cool, and yeah, but I do it all the time, so it's no big deal, you know. But when someone gets that for the first time, and they're just like, oh, you mean it can do that? You know, it's neat. It's really neat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, just quick question. I want to circle back around to iCloud for a second. And that is this. I am less excited about where iCloud is right now than I am of where iCloud obviously will be, say, 6 months from now. Not just because of third-party developers, but even Apple's use and integration of iCloud. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're getting at, you know? Does 2012 also bring what iCloud will become? You know what I mean?
I think in some parts, yes. I think it's going to be iterative, like everything that Apple does. It's going to be we'll see the next step this year. We'll see more next year, and then the year after that. And I think this is sort of an oversimplification, or almost like an exaggeration, but it's almost see like iCloud is Apple's next big operating system in terms of that's where everything is. And I think we're going to see the abstraction of the file system on the desktop even start to go away, and everything just exists in iCloud. Your stuff's in the app, and it exists on the cloud. And because one of my other things that I was going to mention, if everything else had been stolen, was the technology of Backblaze or CrashPlan or Arc, right? Yes, these ideas where you can back yourself up to the cloud. And that's where iCloud's taking us, but just for like the non-nerd. And where it's easy to just, you know, you just open up the app, you type your thing, and then you quit it and you're done. And everything's safe, everything's backed up. And then you're on the train, you open up your iPhone, and there is what it was you're working on, whether it's a photo or an essay or a game or your tweets or whatever it may be. It's all just everywhere. And so I think that's definitely where iCloud's going.
All right. Cool. So. Cool. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it. Appreciate you weighing in. Stephen Hackett.
Hello.
How are you? You looking good. Fine today. Yeah, people can't see it, but he actually wore a tie for this event. He's looking mighty, mighty good.
Well, there's no pants.
You're a good-looking guy.
No pants.
Yeah. No pants. Yeah. That just adds to the whole effect we got going on here. I don't know. I might have to unzip my jacket a little bit.
Oh,
a bit warm.
My God.
So,
wait, it's getting weird.
So, tell me, what technology, young Steven, were you kind of most excited about last year, and what do you see being excited about in the year to come here?
Well, Sean touched on it, but the big thing that excited me about 2011 was the just the great content creation tools that we saw come to service.
Yeah.
And a lot of them did have to do with text. You know, we've got TextMate 2 coming, apps like Marked. I think we saw kind of a revival of Markdown and plain text files.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's almost in response, at least for me, to iCloud, where I want important data to me that's easy to use on any platform and that I control. And the easiest way, I think, for a lot of nerds to do that is to use plain text files. And so I got really nerdy on that this year, and I think a lot of you guys did, and I think a lot of listeners did as well.
Oh, I've been there, my friend. I've been nerdy that way for a long time.
And you know, it's not just about writing, but you see a lot of good podcasting apps came out this year, a lot of new shows.
Yeah.
I really think there's a hunger people have for good content. And I think those of us who write on the web are doing it at the best time possible, because we have the best tools available to anyone in the history of mankind to reach a large number of people.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And as far as looking, forward,
yeah,
you know, I am excited to see what iCloud will bring in the terms of kind of having the same experience on all your devices. But what I really am interested in playing with is to see where Apple takes AirPlay. You know, we saw it kind of emerge big time in 2011 with the Apple TV, and it just seems like magic that I can walk into someone's house with my iPhone and play a video from it when it's sitting on their kitchen table. And I would love to see Apple push the boundaries with AirPlay. You know, why can't I have something on my phone and play it on my iPad? Or I mean, the possibilities there are endless.
And, yeah, I agree.
You know, and television aside, you know, because we've been over that, I think that we will see some new advances in ways that we slingshot our media around between our devices.
Well, and I think I want to touch on two things here. First of all, the interesting thing about AirPlay, the thing that really kind of made it seem like magic to me this past year, was I was over at a friend's house for Christmas, and we were, you know, discussing music and kind of, oh, have you heard this? Have you heard that? And the whole time, you know, I would play something through the speakers, he would play something through the speakers, and we would just kind of both trade off back and forth as we were going through our collection playing music for each other. And I thought, that is cool, right? Where we both can play things to the same speakers. You know, I'm just happen to be on his network with an iPhone. Who am I? Just some guy, you know? No, he doesn't have to add me. He doesn't have to say it's okay. You know, that sort of thing. It can just happen like magic. And
right.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I was in high school when the iPod kind of got big, and but I'm not the youngest one here. So I don't think.
That would be me.
Yep. You know, it's like when you go to a party and everybody had their iPods in their back pocket, you know, and you're like, oh, I want to play this song. And you go over there and take someone else's iPod off and put your iPod on the speaker dock.
It's
just an evolution of that idea. And so what's next after AirPlay, or as AirPlay extends, could be really cool.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. One other thing I wanted to touch on, and I'm going to bring, you know, get Brett's take on this. And Sean, too, since all three mentioned this. Is there a correlation between this explosion of writing creation and this explosion of reading and readers and people interested in reading? Thoughts?
Yeah, I'll go. I think I think you could draw that connection. I think that the more that you write, the more you feel a need to read.
Mm-hmm.
Speed read, the need to speed. Okay. And I think... And I also think that people that read a lot like to enjoy to write. And I think that there is... I definitely think there's a connection there.
Well, but... And even without that, but while both of those things are true, is it that there's a lot more people writing and creating things to read and a lot and a lot more market for that writing? A lot more readers to read that writing. And therefore, the two are kind of feeding each other.
I think you could make a pretty, well, persuasive argument that the barrier to entry for both reading and writing, especially writing and publishing, is super low now. Mm-hmm. And when you, if you write a bunch, if you write online, you're going to write for about an hour before you come across someone telling you the way to become a better writer is to read more.
Right.
I've read that, countless times.
True.
And, it's something like a Kindle or like an iPad or, a bookstore. Like, you have all these things you can read, especially if the electronic stuff, you can just get not just books, but you can get blog posts and magazines and all this stuff delivered to you the second it's available. And it's just sort of sitting there all the time. And I think that if people are taking their online writing more seriously, which it seems like they are, I guess, but they're going to – that wasn't a jab or anything, but like people – write more and they want to write better, they're going to start investing in their own writing abilities, which is going to include reading. Now, I don't know if it's like a correlation or a causation situation there, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I think that, people who want to write better are going to read more.
Yeah, hear you. Very cool. All right, so thanks, Stephen, for weighing in. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Terry Lucy?
Hello.
How are you, young man?
I'm very good, sir. I'm very good. How are you?
Oh, doing great. That's a lovely hat you're wearing. And very appropriate for the temperatures we're enjoying here right now, in mini Snowda. You, Mr. Lucy, tell me, is this the big year for Windows Phone 7? Is it? Is this the year? People are going to finally get it, that it's better than Android, and in some ways maybe even better than iOS, and it's going to start flying out the stores.
In a weird way, I really hope so. Because I suppose many of you know I've got Stockholm Syndrome with the Windows Phone. I've had it for about 4 months now. It really annoys me, but I really enjoy it at the same time. It is. It's like it's both infuriating and fantastic, which I suppose what you expect from an operating system in its infancy. But that has been one of my favourite things this year. Is actually breaking my iPhone has been one of my favourite things because it's allowed me the unfortunate opportunity of becoming sort of au fait with Windows Phone, which has been awesome. An amazing experience from start to finish. there is some really, really cool stuff with Windows Phone, like your live tiles, your notifications, your contacts, texting, and stuff.
I mean, I was only partly kidding. I've heard great things about it.
I'm writing a love letter here. Right
yeah,
now.
You
no,
are.
I'm really excited about it, to be honest. And I think if I'm going to have two phones, I would definitely the second phone will be a Windows Phone 7 in the future, or whatever they call it in the future, probably like Grapefruit or something like that. But in the same vein, I can't wait to join you guys on Path again because I've been missing what you guys have been up to for so long.
Oh, that's sweet.
And, I know, but I'm gonna get back on the iPhone, but yeah, Windows Phone's been good to me, could say.
All right. So oh,
that's not my.
That's not your pick. I led you in that direction. I'm sorry.
You did. My pick has to be my MacBook Air, which, as many of you will know, was my first foray into the Macintosh. Which I'm a bit spoiled of having that as my first entry point, which is nice. And it's been a bit of a computing revolution for me over the past year. I went from a tiny little Windows XP netbook up to the MacBook Air on Snow Leopard at the time, and it was fantastic. And I've never known computing like it, to be honest, lads. I know you lot, it's just sort of your day-to-day, the way you day-to-day use the machine. But for me, I still open it up almost every day and think it's just fantastic.
Yeah,
it's absolutely unbelievable.
And I think that's the thing, right, is that, like I was saying before, one nice thing is that, you know, when things like that happen, where people we know get this new thing that we've experienced for a while, we get to also kind of cooperatively experience the same amount of joy that that you do, and get reminded about the magic. But I think the other reason why we use these things is because we are still consistently reminded of the magic. Right? It's just like you said, you open it up and it feels like astonishing to you. I open up mine and it still feels astonishing to me most days. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, that's the thing, right? And I think that's the secret sauce that a lot of people miss with Apple, is that it's not just about the, oh, wow, reality distortion field while you're in the keynote sort of thing. It's that that happens every single day. Right. Now, and what's interesting, what I find interesting is that on the computer side, you know, or not the computer side, but the, you know, the you know, what we think on the laptop side, you've gone from Windows to Mac.
Yeah.
And on the phone side, you've gone from iOS to Windows Phone.
Yeah.
Right. That is, it's, you've kind of, you know, done that, which I find fascinating, and I wonder. Yeah, for instance, generally when you have people going from one total complete solution to another total complete solution, that's one thing. In this case, you've kind of crossed solutions in two areas. And do you think, how has that affected your experience with one or the other, or has it at all?
Only really with some applications. I miss the Dropbox, I miss the things like that. But other than that, it's really not been that big a deal to me, to be honest. I really only use my phone as a camera, a phone to text, and as a music player these days. And it's sort of disconnected me a bit, being a Windows Phone user. It's disconnecting me while I'm out of the house, because I'm not constantly looking at my iPhone, because I've not got an iPhone to constantly look at, to constantly update pictures of, because it's such a pain to even do a TwitPic on a Windows Phone. It's like, it's, yeah, miracles have to happen to make it work. but that's sort of been quite refreshing, because it's kind of made me sort of concentrate on what I'm doing when I get home and when I get on the Mac, which has been... It's been quite a weird experience, but in the same vein, it's one of the reasons I kind of like the Windows Phone, because you don't feel compelled to use it all the time, maybe because it's not good.
Yeah.
But in the
that can be a feature, though. That can totally be a feature.
It has been for me, to be honest, because I was glued to my screen at 24 hours a day, and it wasn't the way I wanted to be living. And now I just sort of do whatever I'm doing during the day, and then crack on when I get on the Mac when I get home.
Yeah,
which is an interesting thing.
So, what are you excited about for next year? What's your interest direction?
I want to get an iPhone again. there's that, and I really felt like this year was more of a year of iteration than it was innovation. I feel like, even though we got iOS 5 and we got Siri, I do feel like they're almost, you know, as Sean said earlier, that Apple will iterate them, and they're going to become what they were set out to be, what the guys at Apple have them to be in their brains. We're going to see that over the next 2 years, and I'm really looking forward to that. But iCloud, I think is really not at its potential yet for the, you know, for the average user, such as and with something like iCloud, I'm an average user. I don't have a great need for it, but I feel like when there's more features on iCloud and stuff like that, I think it's going to be very interesting going forward in that sense. Maybe more so with that kind of stuff than what we're going to see hardware-wise from Apple or anybody else in the next sort of couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Other than battery life, I can't see a major rush to improve anything else in a major way, to be honest.
Yeah, okay.
So I think it's going to be a lot. It's going to be cloud. And obviously with the gaming side, I'm a big gamer, and cloud gaming is going to be blowing up next year as infrastructure continues to grow.
Right.
And stuff like Google Chrome, as Julio said earlier, I've been using Google Chrome, and they're doing development with people, and they're putting on like full console quality games into Chrome browser, which is amazing stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the stuff we're able to do with this technology is just, I mean, as it stands right now, everyone that you have heard on this podcast has been on this Google Hangout with me, and I mean, with the video and the audio, all of it going. Brett showing his snacks and the drinks he's mixing, and you know, Aaron's joining in. I mean, this is just fantastic, and I agree. I think that the you know, that so much of this stuff is, I mean, straight out of the future, and we really don't think about it that way.
You know, Patrick, so. I was talking to my wife the other day. So I was born in the mid-70s, and my childhood revolved around things like G.I. Joe and Riding My Bike and Transformers, and, you know. So I was talking to her, and I had my iPad on my lap, and I don't know, I was in the middle of reading a book or something, and it occurred to me that this memory came rushing back to me from my childhood. It must have been fourth grade, maybe fifth grade. But any boy with a magnifying glass in the 80s would go around and like burn ants and things like that, you know, try to see what you could burn. And it was a good time. But I learned, because my dad was a carpenter, he's always had scraps of wood laying around. I learned that I could burn wood with a magnifying glass. I could actually take it and like create artwork on it, which was really fun.
Yeah.
My little tool when I was, fourth grade or so, was this slab of wood that was maybe 8 inches by 10 inches, like a piece of paper. And I had taken a magnifying glass and I burned into it, like a monitor and buttons and knobs. And I carried that thing around with me, and I called it my spy gadget. And that was just like, in my mind, it made sense that someday we'd be able to carry everything that we needed in this little thing that was just there and available. And at that moment, it occurred to me that I had been like fantasizing about this iPad for decades. And so I said to my wife, I said, I live in the future, and I love living in the future. It's absolutely amazing. So.
Yeah. I'm going to come back around to that. I was, cause I've, that kind of leads into what I'm excited about for the future.
Well, why don't you go now, Pat?
Okay. All right. I'm going to be kind of along with everybody else here, and that, you know, I think this past year was really about setting us up for a future year. And I don't know if it's quite next year. It might be the year after, but I think that we are right on the edge of the next disruption, in the same way that mobile was a disruption when the original iPhone came out, and how it really kind of set the standard and the path for all other mobile devices to come, and for mobile to just kind of explode into this entity, into this thing that we have now. I think we're there right now on the desktop computing standpoint. I think that we are right on the cusp of that really just becoming completely different than the way that we experience it now. That all the pieces are in place, that all the technologies are already out there. They're just not widely distributed or well integrated yet. But I've talked about this before. I've talked about the idea that everything that we need to do, you know, Minority Report style computing, where, yeah, those sorts of things where we can walk into any room, into any house, and with our fingers draw a screen and have a screen pop up. and then manipulate that screen and talk to it and use gestures to move things around and to, you know, take documents and flip them over to page two and that sort of thing. All of that stuff exists. It exists right now in touch. It exists right now in the Kinect. It exists right now with virtual screen technology and projection. It exists right now with, you know, with Siri. You know, all of these pieces are there, are in place, and that this year was all about setting that up. So Siri, there's a reason why Siri is in beta, and that's because I think that when Siri comes out of beta, will there be the point where Siri is just ubiquitous, right? Where everything's got Siri, or I should say, where Siri is in every room with us, and where we don't need to hold our phone up to our mouths to use Siri, when we can just go, Siri, return these results, and Siri will give us those results in the most appropriate way possible. And if it's something visual, it will display visually for us. If it's something audible, it will respond to us audibly. But that, you know, all of those pieces will be there. The technology I was most excited about for 2011 is all these little pieces revealing themselves between iCloud and such like that, setting up for 2012 and 2013, where I think we're going to finally see the big aha moment with all this stuff. One other related story to that.
Patrick? Sorry.
Yep.
This is Brett. My iPhone that's I'm using to record this whole thing and talk to you guys is about to die. So okay. I have to drop off the call, but I wanted to thank you for having me and wish you a hearty congratulations on 100 episodes, man.
Thank you very much. And that should be proof right there. I mean, Brett this whole time has been on this Google Hangout using his iPhone and doing all of this using his iPhone.
And you couldn't tell at all.
And you couldn't tell.
Well, the squirrel didn't even complain.
Yeah.
Yes. I just kept feeding it. All right.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Thanks, Brett, for joining us. And I'll make sure to link to you appropriately in the show notes.
Oh, please. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you.
Peace out.
All right.
Bye.
So yeah, terrific. So one related story to that. This past really couple of weeks, I've been on a client project where I've been they are moving to Mac, and they were using a Windows 2003 server using PC Windows XP clients and connecting to the server basically in a client-server manner, where all of their documents and desktop and such, you know, their home, as it were, was stored on the server. So they could walk up to any machine, log in, and boom, their documents would be there and their network connections would be set and everything would be great. Moving that to the Mac version of that, with a Mac mini server running Lion, iMacs running Lion. So they got the 21-inch iMacs, everyone doing a great job there. Getting this all set up, and it's just been, it's been kind of a bear. That's not entirely, you know, it's no one's fault. It's just kind of, Apple is changing this stuff with Lion Server, where the support for this stuff that was there in 10.6 and before is not there anymore with Lion Server. They're actually depreciating it in the server, which I found awfully interesting and strange. But not so much in the context of things. So the other night, probably with my head all full of this stuff that I've been doing for the past couple of weeks, I had a dream. And in this dream, I dreamt that Apple rolled out this sort of ability with iCloud, where our entire home directories actually lived in iCloud, where we could walk up to any Mac, log into it with our Apple ID and password, and boom, our desktop, our documents, everything that we, just the way we'd left it when we left home, would be right there. And it would work that way on iOS and on the iPhone and this sort of thing. And in my dream, what was interesting about the dream, in my dream, I was trying to technically work out, well, wait a second, how are they doing that? They must be caching that somehow. I'm thinking through all the technical details of how they're doing that, right? I don't think that that's a dream. I think that that's maybe a year away. And maybe the interface, maybe, you know, I won't be looking at my laptop and, you know, the interface will change, but the idea will be there. And that's what I'm excited about. That's what I see coming.
Martin Luther Rohn.
What?
Martin Luther Rohn.
Martin Luther Rohn. Thank you. That would be Dr. Martin Luther Rohn.
Apologies, to you, sir.
All right. Speaking of the Reformation, Michael.
Oh, thank you. Being last, mine's probably going to be a bit shorter than everybody else's. In the last year, I was really excited for Siri. Once it was announced and we saw all the videos, I couldn't wait to get my hands on an iPhone 4S. And when I did, I mean, I use Siri quite a lot. I think I'm going to be using it more in the future. It is, you know, as we say, as we have said, it's still in beta, so there's still a lot left to give. You know, what could an API do for it? You know, we don't know yet, but I think over the last year, that's probably been the most important piece of technology, I think, when you're looking into the future. Over the next year, mine is kind of more of a prediction, really, than anything else, and it may take longer than the next 12 months to materialize, but I kind of had an idea when listening to Sean talk about the way that he docks his MacBook Air recently on an episode of the B&B podcast, and I had this idea that it could come to the point where we could be docking our iPhones. So they're no longer smartphones, they just become smart devices, and our entire lives live on these tiny devices in our pockets. So we get home and we have a keyboard and a mouse and a screen waiting for us, and we just drop it in the dock, and then the screen comes on and we're into a version, an operating system which is somewhere between iOS and Mac OS X, and that is where we do everything, and all of our telephone calls are done through video calls. We can respond to iMessages on the Mac as if they're an iChat conversation, but they are just done through the iChat protocol. So text message when we're on the road, and like an instant message when we're at home. And that it just becomes that we have this 3G connection with us at all times. So you could plug it into something that looks like a laptop as well, so you could keep it with you on the road. And they could have like additional horsepower built into them to allow us to do more complicated things. So I just kind of imagine that we won't have processors in our computers at home. They will actually be on our pockets all the time.
Yeah. So yeah, very, very cool. Very cool. So question for you then, Michael.
Mm.
I mean, that vision is, I would think, like a lot of these, very much, in line with, I mean, it seems to be like a general consensus amongst all of us that 2012 is going to be kind of the year of the cloud and cloud, you know, that a lot of these things, Siri, iCloud, is really going to kind of coalesce this coming year. I mean, yours fits in with that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that we have so many technology, you know, geeks on, you know, from folks that, I mean, look at this stuff, you know, just through interest or hobby, to folks that literally are, I mean, they're jobs. I would say that Sean Blanc and Dave Kahlo, to a large extent, especially, I mean, it's part of their livelihood is kind of writing about this stuff, being on top of this stuff, and the fact that so many of us have come to this conclusion. I don't know. I'm just saying. I find it interesting.
Yeah, it's very. I mean, and the idea of looking into the future, we all love to be a pundit. That's something that we all kind of love to do.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But Patrick, I think that we may have now reached the end of this episode.
Yeah,
it's been
the longest episode
probably since the time that you were on the bro show with us and Terry's legs caught on fire.
Yes.
That sounds like an episode I would like to listen to.
It will be in the show notes. It's two hours long.
We'll link to the one to it in the show notes. It's great. But, I mean, we had to make it this long to have this many people, and it's our 100th episode, and I know it's a lot longer than our normal episodes, but I just hope that, you know, listeners bear with us, that they maybe listen to it in two or three parts and are happy with that.
It's been an extravaganza.
Yeah, I'm going to try to run through everybody here as quickly as I can. Aaron Mankey, thank you for being on. Dave Kahlo, Brett Kelly, Julio Heda Zapata, Randy Murray, Sean Blanc, Terry Lucy. I will be linking to all
and
of their
Stephen
stuff
Hackett
in the show.
As well.
Notes.
He's Stephen Hackett, giving him funny looks, and he has
I'm
to
sorry.
Leave.
Yep, Stephen Hackett dropped off, but yes, Stephen Hackett. I'll be linking to all of their places in the show notes. Look, visit their sites. These are the folks that I read. These are the voices that I listen to and I want to hear, and you should be too. So thanks a lot, guys, for being on. Appreciate it.
Patrick, you're welcome.
Congratulations on reaching 100.
Congrats.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And here's to 200. I'll see you then. We'll gather all around once more.
Hey.
All right. Thanks a lot, y'all. I'll talk to you later.
Cheers.
Bye.
Cheers.